Hi, everybody. Matt Falk here with the American Cable Association. We're here with another edition of Cable Talk, brought to you by the American Cable Association. Great to have you with us today. We are happy to have Christopher J. Lammers, the Chief Operating Officer of Cable Apps, here with us today, and we hope you enjoy this next episode of Cable Talk. We're here today with Chris Lammers, Chief Operating Officer of Cable Apps. Chris, great to have you with us. We've known each other for a long time. We've been friends. We've worked together on so many issues. It's really nice to have you with us on Cable Talk.
Matt, I'm genuinely delighted to be here, given the length of the relationship we've had and our mutual commitment to a group of operators to which we are both passionate, namely the mid and smaller market operators, which matter a great deal to both of us.
Absolutely. Well, it is terrific to have you with us here today, so thanks. Let's just start off very basic. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and what you do at Cable Apps.
Well, I suppose the way to start is to say I'm a recovering attorney. I started practicing law, which got me into the cable industry, introduced me to a then mid-sized operator, Western Communications, led by an industry mighty and league leader in Ed Allen, who brought me into Western Communications. Ed left. I was able, unfortunately, to then run the company, which we subsequently sold to TCI. And that then moved me into a position I never would have imagined, and that's as Chief Operating Officer of Cable Labs, thinking I had nothing particular to offer on the technology side, but as a function of some very serious persuasion by Dick Green, by Spencer Cates,
yes,
and
sure.
John Goddard, who was formerly the CEO of Viacom, was persuaded that maybe I did in fact have something to offer, and that was just over 20 years ago. What has been fascinating about this position is that while my title is still Chief Operating Officer, I am now on version 4.0 of what I'm doing, having the opportunity, particularly under Phil McKinney, to evolve my responsibilities, not just from an operational standpoint, but to support our membership in terms of both existing member relationships and member development, both with our mid and smaller sized operators, a group, as we'd earlier mentioned, I'm extremely partial to. But in particular on the international front, I've been focused now for many years, particularly the last half dozen or so, in developing our international footprint to achieve the advantages of a broad-based global community that at the end of the day results in scale and a more efficient and cost-effective deployment of technologies to the advantage of a worldwide cable community that is facing both the same threats and opportunities, irrespective of where they might be.
Well, it's a fascinating portfolio of the things that you do, and hadn't even thought about the international connection and what we might learn from that, and I'm sure you're seeing a lot from an international perspective. Maybe we'll come back to that, but I can't say enough about the great things that Cable Labs has done. It's way over my head, but that just shows the depth of knowledge that you have developed and deployed and employed here for many, many years. So thank you for you and your colleagues and all you do.
Well, is Matt, as you know, our industry is fundamentally underpinned by a collegiality, a sense of community, a sense of support that has defined our success now for many decades and anticipate will continue to be the case. So not only are the relationships across cable operators, but also across the associations that support our mutual clients, mission critical to our success. So the partnership from a technology policy support perspective with ACA and with NCTA, and our partnership with SCTE, who leads applied science, and we're focused kind of in farther out, you know, 3 years, 5 years, 8 years, with NCTC, with CTAM, with WICT, those associations and the ability to continue to take advantage of the community of interest we have is fundamental again to our success.
Well, it is so true with so much technological change. We better work together. I'm reminded of, I think it was Ben Franklin who said, we better all hang together or all hang separately. So in regards to all that Cable Labs is doing, give us a sense of the projects that that are on the plate right now at Cable Labs.
Cable Labs operates in six major focus areas, led by what we are probably best known for, and that's fixed networks, in particular the evolution of DOCSIS technology, now over approaching 20 years, from DOCSIS 1.0 to 1.1 to 2.0 to 3.0, 3.1, and then to yet another iteration called full duplex DOCSIS, allowing symmetrical 10 gigabit per second speeds. But we've also invested heavily in the wireless arena from the standpoint of both licensed and unlicensed spectrum. In fact, coming back to fixed networks, while DOCSIS certainly well defines our success, we've got successes on many fronts in the fixed network, including on the fiber side. And we're looking at a number of advanced technologies that will advance the fiber capabilities of our networks, much as we've done in the case of DOCSIS. Moving back to wireless, again, how Wi-Fi can be harnessed both in terms of new business opportunities as well as in terms of operational cost efficiencies, how licensed spectrum 5G, something we might talk about later, can be can advantage the cable industry as well. A third area that we're focused on is our open source solutions, the virtualization of devices and capabilities within both the consumer premises and also in the network, and how some or many of those functions can be put up into the cloud when that makes sense. We also have a substantial focus on security, initially probably most known for the digital certificates that are in cable modems somewhat universally throughout the world, and assuring the authentication and authenticity of the device. But beyond that, we are focused very much on cybersecurity and how we, as a community of interests across cable operators, can work together to deal with the cybersecurity threats that affect our business on an increasing basis, and what we do to assure our ability to thwart these efforts. A key area for us is also technology policy. You and I have worked closely together, as have our colleagues, in terms of Cable Labs providing the technology perspective, the technology underpinnings, the technology knowledge based on proposed policy and regulation, likewise also with NCTA, and assuring that we provide a very coherent, neutral view of how various policies may well affect technology and vice versa. And then last but not least, an area that has become pivotal for Cable Labs, in addition to our near-term initiatives with DOCSIS and with fiber, wireless, security, etc., is looking longer term, sort of the 3 to 8 year horizon, with innovation and new technologies that will continue to advantage the industry as we move forward, and making certain that we are continually mining opportunities and areas of interest in terms of how we develop what those new technologies might be, and then ultimately bring them to market for the cable industry. DOCSIS 3.1 is a case in point of that innovation going back several years. Full duplex DOCSIS, coherent optics to name three, dual channel Wi-Fi to name four, were all technologies that had a 3, 4, 5, 6 year gestation period before they come to market. And we are continuing to focus around yet more innovative technologies to benefit the industry in the long haul.
This is so important. If folks aren't following what you're doing, then they're missing out for sure. Let's talk about one piece of technology that's been very, very important to our members, and they've had to deal with a lot of issues over the years, and whether it's a policy perspective or even a tech perspective, and that's the set-top box. There's lots of changes that are taking place today with technology affecting the set-top box. Some members or some companies believe that set-tops will become virtual at some point. How do you see that evolving, set-top box technology? And maybe this is tied really to the evolution of linear cable TV, but how do you see set-top box technology evolving over the next 5 years or so?
I'll make clear that this is Chris Lammer's providing his perspective. So
that's fine.
My colleagues,
we're happy to have your perspective.
My colleagues have plausible deniability to the extent I wander off the technology reservation. And for which they have the expertise. But what we're seeing with the set-top box, much as we're seeing with the evolution of cable, fixed cable networks themselves, is that there are a multiplicity of technology opportunities going forward. Some operators on the fixed side will continue with their existing HFC networks. Others will look at pushing fiber deep. Others will look at all fiber solutions. And yet others will look at a constellation of fixed and mobile solutions with their networks. In the case of the set-top box, I think that we'll see similar evolution. We'll see smarter and more cost-effective devices. We're seeing Android-based devices originally in Europe and in Asia, but we're starting to see Android-based set-top boxes here in the U.S. as well. In terms of a physical solution and the horsepower that's built into those devices, we'll also see the virtualization of some of the capabilities of the set-top box. We will see further integration of the capabilities of the set-top box into integrated devices that manage voice, video, and data in a more cost-effective, more manageable platform. The set-top box will be around for a while, much as the HFC network will be around for a while. They're highly flexible, they're highly adaptable, and with increases and advances in technology, it will be a case of what best suits, what best advantages a particular cable operator in a particular set of circumstances as to whether it's a standalone device, whether it's an integrated device, whether it's a device that has many or all of its functions built into the cloud, based on the operating dynamics, the demographic dynamics of a particular cable operator. And at Cable Labs, we're very much focused on understanding that one size does not necessarily fit all, whether it's in fixed wireless CPE or otherwise, and taking advantage of technologies that create that array of technology solutions to the advantage of our various members and the industry as a whole.
Right, right. One of the things you mentioned before was 5G technology. I hear about this all the time in Washington. The policymakers are talking about 5G as, you know, the next best thing since sliced bread to get more broadband out into perhaps some of the markets that our members serve, which are smaller, more rural, or to provide a competitive broadband experience to the larger ISPs in urban areas. It's a huge issue. Is it a threat? Is it a complement to the operations of a cable operator? Tell us about what Cable Labs is doing from a 5G perspective, how you're looking at this, and what you see for cable operators using 5G perhaps down the road.
Matt, the way you framed it at the beginning is, in fact, I think the right point of departure. And any time that the question of 5G comes up, the first question I ask is precisely what do you mean by 5G? Is it just millimeter wavelength? Does it include spectrum below millimeter wavelength?
But and see, for the audience, this is where I'm getting way out of my depth right away. This is why we're glad to have Chris Lambers here with us.
Who is not technological, but I think hopefully I understand
really?
Enough to answer the question.
A lot more than I am.
Well, whether it's my legal background that enables me to create the aura that I understand it, or it's my colleagues who have given me the information and essentially the understanding, it's the latter of those two, which I hope allows me to speak a bit to it.
Indeed.
But
sure.
in terms of wireless technology writ large, whether it's 5G millimeter wavelength in the, you know, the 27, 28, 29 millimeter, or you're in the 37, 38, 39, 40 gigahertz, or you're looking at yet higher frequencies above that, 50, 60, 70 gigahertz. Cable Labs has, because of a substantial commitment in the wireless space, now going back several years, both in the licensed and unlicensed spectrum, is looking at how spectrum can advantage our members, again, writ large. And in the case of millimeter wavelength, to define 5G in that capacity, we're understanding the performance characteristics of the various different millimeter wavelength frequencies to determine how they can be a complement to our fixed networks or in-home networks or out-of-home networks. And based on the characterization and performance characteristics of those frequencies, how they can be harnessed to our own advantage. To answer your question, I would look at wireless technologies generally without necessarily picking on just millimeter wavelength. This is both an opportunity and a threat to our industry. The phone companies, of course, are very focused on and are making quite a bit of hype around 5G as the technology ultimately develops. Their utilization, in my view, is primarily in highly dense environments where small cell technology and the CapEx to support that make business sense. From the cable operator's standpoint, it's understanding how these technologies might be an adjunct to our fixed networks to project our ability to increase service, either overlaying what we currently have or projecting it into unserved fixed network areas, and which particular wireless technologies will ultimately benefit us. Another area that we're working in the wireless area is to identify additional unlicensed spectrum that can be, as it were, blessed by the FCC for use. We did this quite successfully, Rob Aldifer, my colleague, in a partnership across the entire industry 3.5 or so years ago, perhaps now 4, was successful with the industry in getting an additional 100 megahertz Wi-Fi spectrum licensed at 5.1 gigahertz. And we are looking at those opportunities as well to define yet other frequencies, other wireless capacity that the cable industry can advantage itself of. Again, where and when it makes sense based on the operating characteristics of not only the frequencies but also the cable operators.
A lot to come for sure as this develops. So thanks for that. You know, Chris, Cable Labs and you in particular have always had a soft spot, I guess you could say, for smaller operators, mid-sized operators. You've spent a lot of time working with our ACA members, some on your board, some at Cable Labs, and in general within the industry. And you've always been very kind to invite our members to your summer conference, where you have a smaller market day on Sunday, your smaller market conference. So you've been very, very kind to do that, and we appreciate it. But give me some background in how this interest of yours developed and to make it a specific focus of Cable Labs to be mindful of perhaps the unique concerns of smaller operators.
It's very easy to pinpoint what has and continues to drive my interest in the mid and smaller sized operators. As you know, I came out of that environment
with
Western Communications, or at least I pretended to be, back 25 years ago when I had the good fortune to work with Ed Allen at Westcom and was introduced to a number of like-minded mid and smaller sized operators, as well as, of course, the highly successful larger operators as well. And because of that interest, I was able to translate that into a community of interest around our mid and smaller sized operators going back now about 12, 13 years in the case of what we call our mid and mid-tier operators, mid and smaller size. But this conference we've had at Summer Conference for the smaller operators I've been supporting now for 20 years, it actually started before me. The key characteristic is bringing together mid and smaller sized operators focused on issues that are of critical importance to them, together with identifying new technologies, new services, new business strategies with our larger operators. The combination of those two has been a critical success in assuring that we're resonating with all of our constituents and making certain that our mid and smaller sized operators help drive these community of interests. We have now 3 different opportunities across the course of the year, Summer Conference being one, 2 separate MTO events with this group of operators, and assuring that we understand that they have the opportunity to identify the new business-centric, technology-related opportunities that they're pursuing, both from the standpoint of new services and technology to generate revenue, but also on the OPEX side and what services, strategies they're employing that will advantage themselves. And because this is by and for the mid and smaller sized operators, it is a group that I have absolutely come to depend on having very candid exchanges one with the other, because it is small operators talking to smaller operators. And that exchange is instrumental in assuring that there's benefit delivered in addition to the various topics that are addressed. So it's Cable Labs technology applied in the mid and smaller operator environment, also larger operator environment, together with their own unique operating circumstances, together with a willingness to share, again, which fundamentally defines the success of this industry. That environment has been, I think, singularly successful in continuing to assure, one, our focus on, but two, value given to our mid and smaller operators. Well, as you can tell, it's a group I'm very passionate about.
Oh, you've done so much, and we appreciate it. And I've always been so impressed with our members, smaller companies, smaller staffs. They have to learn how to solve problems, and sometimes their ability to solve those problems provide even help that the larger companies aren't thinking about. They're just so, they're so good at what they do.
And as you know, equally so as I do, innovation does not come from only one quarter or two quarters or three quarters or four quarters. It comes from many, many areas. It's one of the reasons we're focused on our international constituency, is to identify innovation from the MSO community broad-based. The same is true for the mid and smaller sized operators, as you well put it. There is innovation going on across our smaller operators, and sometimes the learnings go both ways, from mid and smaller sized operators to our larger operators, as well as taking advantage of the key learnings and technology advances that our larger operators make. So assuring that there is operating experiences, technology, is shared across the mid-tier operators, but also between our mid-tier operators and our larger operators. That dynamic is one that is, to me, critical to the ongoing success of our ability as Cable Labs to successfully support all the audiences we serve. It is aspirational. I don't always achieve the objectives I want, but knowing that the effort is being made to create that, again, community of interest across our operators, large, medium, and small, again, defines why we have been so successful as an industry.
Looking ahead, do you have a date for your smaller market conference?
The next one, and this is a member-driven conference, yep, is the week of April 16th. It'll either be the 17th, 18th, or 18th, 19th at Cable Labs. And then our summer conference will be the first week of August. So two opportunities for our members to, again, share experiences. And at summer conference, our what we call smaller market conference is in partnership with NCTA. Lisa Schoenfeller has been an amazing partner in bringing together NCTA and Cable Labs, and both our common and other mid and smaller market operators, to share that same set of interests, technologically in particular, but also an opportunity to understand what's going on in Washington. As you know, having been to these in the past, to share the regulatory environment in which we find ourselves. And it is singularly a very, again, interactive exchange across those operators.
Well, you've been very kind to invite our members to the summer conference, and we'll certainly get the information out again. I am also it never stops to amaze me when you talk about the intersection of technology and policy, and I say this to our members all the time, that just about anything that our members do from a technology perspective at some point has a policy component to it, which is why we need to work together closely, why ACA works together very closely with our partners at the National Cable Television Cooperative and within the industry, because we have to solve these issues and we have to work through these policy issues to actually employ and deploy the technology going forward. So it's always fascinating to see the connection between the two.
Well, as you well know, because you live this day in and day out, as does NCTA, absolutely, policy affects technology. Technology affects policy. One would hope that's a virtuous circle.
Right.
That isn't always the case. But we as Cable Labs are very focused on assuring that for both ACA and NCTA, and increasingly we're finding opportunities in Canada and Europe, and may ultimately elsewhere around the world, to provide that technology-based understanding of potential or actual regulatory policy. So we can assure regulators, policy drivers, legislators at all levels, whether it's a municipality or it's a national government, have an appreciation for the implications of decisions they have made or will make insofar as a technology is affected, so that we can assure we're able to continue to deliver services our consumers, our businesses, our enterprises want to see in a fashion that they expect in very streamlined fashion. But we look to ACA, NCTA, and our colleagues elsewhere around the world to assure that from the policy side, that those interests are well represented, assisted by our technology analysis.
Right. Well, we enjoy working together. You can count on that going forward. We're winding down now, so I have a couple more questions for you. This is a practical one for our members, smaller companies that ACA represents. In 2018, what should be number one, two, and three on their list of technology issues to better understand and get ready to implement?
It's difficult to prioritize given the array of technologies that are extant and are coming into their own. Focused on the fixed network, looking at the evolution of DOCSIS 3.1 and increasing its capabilities both upstream and downstream. Many of your members, MR and ours, among the mid-sized and smaller operators, have already deployed DOCSIS 3.1. Midco has, Midcontinent has, in your case, your members, WOW has, RCN has. Cable One is deploying 1 gigabit per second services, but using DOCSIS 3.0. So is GCI in Alaska. And so very much emblematic of one size doesn't fit all. But looking at how that fixed network will evolve in terms of its increased bandwidth capabilities, more efficient latency, and how those technologies will ultimately impact our consumers and also the businesses we serve. So higher bandwidth, symmetrical bandwidth, technologies that will allow us to deploy fiber deeper on a more cost-effective basis, and also how we can leverage our existing fiber, to an earlier point I made, to radically increase its carrying capacity, in my layman's terms, as we have with DOCSIS and the HFC network, and how those become additional technology tools in the competitive toolbox for the evolution of our network. Coming back to wireless, how wireless technologies in concert with our fixed networks will advantage our businesses going forward. So understanding the evolution of the technologies and the business opportunities they represent. An area I did reference earlier, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it. Cable Labs is also spending a fair amount of time and effort, substantially so, on finding where we can drive operating costs and result and also more effective capital costs. On the operating side, a technology many of your members are familiar with on the DOCSIS side is proactive network maintenance, how one can identify as a function of what's coming out of intelligence from the modem problems that need to be solved before the customer is aware of their issues. We're applying that same approach to a set of tools in the Wi-Fi space so that in the home, operating issues can be identified before they become issues for our customers, who first, last, and always look at us as the operator of first resort to deal with issues that oftentimes are not our own or beyond our control, but nonetheless, how we can solve those before they become issues, and applying that same set of objectives in the fiber space and in other spaces, so this proactive network maintenance can be utilized across the range of technologies that we're currently providing. That is something I would absolutely look at as a very here and now type solution. Also, what we're continuing to do in the in-home environment in terms of providing carrier-grade quality service for our subscribers, and how those in-home technologies will better serve the proliferation of devices, which I think now range on an average, the estimate is 8, 9, 10 connected devices in the home. What are we doing in terms of providing the technologies that will allow us to more effectively manage them? And not to be overlooked, is what we do to maintain a community of interest around security threats to our business as an absolute ongoing business imperative from our standpoint.
Well, one thing I was thinking of as well as you were talking about proactive network maintenance is the proliferation of devices, as you said, in the home and building that home network and having that home as a hub for all internet-enabled devices. That's certainly something that our members need to look at too. What do you think?
Absolutely, and we have now for now several years been looking at how to increase the operational efficiency of the Wi-Fi networks in the house, particularly as you're looking at delivering yet higher and higher bandwidth into the home, understanding what is needed within the home from a Wi-Fi perspective to assure that there is alignment between high bandwidth to the home and high bandwidth propagated throughout the home. And then related to that, coverage throughout the home environment and identifying the tools that will allow devices to be effectively served across the home environment. Again, an area that we've spent a fair amount of time and attention to. And we'll continue to look at the evolution of the home network and the integration of the devices that are in the home network to assure that we can provide top quality service, both as a forward business proposition and also from an operational cost-effective standpoint going forward. Absolutely something to watch.
Last question, Chris, get out your crystal ball. Next 5, 10 years, maybe beyond, where do we see technology heading in our industry?
Well, I could basically punt on that question to say that I'm not going to worry about it. That will be somebody else's question to figure out what will happen 5 or 10 years out. It's an absolutely fair question given where Cable Labs is focused. In terms of where the technologies will take us, I'll come back to what I've mentioned before. We will continue to evolve the HFC network. It is highly robust, highly flexible. It will continue to be so, and will continue to be a network that operators utilize with yet more capabilities than it even has now. But looking at the evolution of fiber and fiber deep, fiber to the home, and the capabilities of the fiber network, what we do to increase the operating characteristics, bandwidth, performance, latency characteristics of both the fixed networks in that case, we will see technologies that will allow us going forward in terms of bandwidth, in terms of latency, continue to not only meet customer demands, but to assure that from a competitive standpoint, we have the technology to meet and exceed what competitors are doing. In the wireless space, fixed mobile and fixed wireless convergence, given the fact that wireless technologies represent clear opportunities for cable operators, depending on their own operating circumstances, we have in Europe virtually every one of our 17 or 18 members are either MNOs or MVNOs. So that is driving a focus on fixed wireless convergence from a mobile's perspective, but we're equally so looking at fixed mobile convergence, fixed wireless convergence for our operators worldwide. We'll see increasing virtualization of technologies so that we can deliver set-top box capabilities or gateway capabilities or network capabilities, depending on the circumstances, in a more robust fashion, again, depending where it works. Very interesting question in terms of the evolution of video technologies and what's known as light field and the projection of these technologies, hologram technologies, etc. Will those be ultimate consumer propositions? This comes back to probably VR and maintaining an understanding of where those technologies evolve and how they will impact the business. Maybe not yet this year or next year in the following year, but in a 5-year time horizon, you know, stay tuned in terms of assuring our network is robust enough, if not highly robust, to assure that when and if VR becomes a very highly consumer-centric technology, that our networks, both wireless and wired, are capable of supporting VR, an area we haven't talked about in which we are beginning to spend a substantial amount of time, machine learning and AI. Mm. How we can take this tremendous amount of data from our networks and utilize it in a way to achieve greater operational efficiencies. A beginning of that is around proactive network maintenance, so we're identifying issues before they become issues to the customer. There is just huge opportunity in terms of harnessing the information and intelligence we have coming out of our networks through machine learning and AI that we believe in the time period you've identified, certainly 5 years, we'll see applications that will, in my opinion, will begin to make a difference, or making a difference in terms of how we better serve our constituency and how we better arm our technical colleagues with yet a more sophisticated tool set that increasingly assures higher level performance to the advantage of our consumers and our businesses.
Well, Chris Lammers, we are thrilled that you and your colleagues at Cable Labs are on the case. That is quite a lot, but we are so glad that you spend the time day in and day out thinking about these things that help not only our members, but our industry be a better place to live and work. So thanks for being here today at Cable Talk.
Yeah, it's I'm genuinely delighted to be here, and a shout out to an incredible array of individuals at Cable Labs who make all of this possible and without whom we would not have the success that we do and their relationships across our MSOs. The talent in our organization, in my view, is second to none. And I'm thrilled to be able to have an association with this array of talent that allows us to continue to support the industry, to support ACA and your constituents. Matt, thanks.
Great to have you with us. Folks, thanks for being here for Cable Talk with Chris Lammers. We'll see you soon.